This is DW News, live from Berlin. Is this the beginning of the end for Benjamin Netanyahu? Israel's attorney general indicts the prime minister on charges of fraud, bribery and breach of trust. We'll take you live to Jerusalem. Also on the programme, opposition groups in Georgia demand early elections after parliament fails to reform the voting system. They say the system currently puts too much power in the hands of the ruling party. Britain's opposition Labour Party promises sweeping economic reforms ahead of next month's general election. Despite trailing badly in opinion polls, Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn unveils what has been called the most radical manifesto for decades. I'm Phil Gale. Welcome to the programme. The chances of Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu beginning another term in office look slim this evening. The country's Attorney General has announced that he is pressing corruption charges. Mr. Netanyahu is being indicted for bribery, fraud and breach of trust in three separate cases. The Prime Minister denies wrongdoing and has previously stated that he would not step down if indicted. He's currently battling to stay in power after September's parliamentary elections produced no clear winner. Straight to DW correspondent Tanya Kremer in Jerusalem then. Welcome, Tanya. What do these charges relate to?
Well, we just heard the Attorney General confirming that he will indict Prime Minister Netanyahu. He said it's a sad day that he has to serve a serving Prime Minister with such serious charges. So we understand from him that he will indict Mr. Netanyahu in two cases for fraud and breach of trust, and in the third case for bribery, fraud and breach of trust. The Attorney General also made sure, to reiterate that this is a sad day for him, but this is so important for the rule of law, for the public interest, and that no one is above the law. So let's have a look at what these cases are actually about.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's political future hangs by a thread. Following months of investigation by a special police unit, Israel's attorney general has indicted Netanyahu on several corruption charges. These cases are known as Case 1000. Netanyahu and his family are suspected of receiving gifts from business colleagues and close friends. Case 2000 covers allegations that Netanyahu attempted to influence the publisher of a daily newspaper to gain more positive coverage. The recommended charges in both cases, fraud and breach of trust. And case 4000, allegations of regulatory favors for Israel's largest telecommunications firm in exchange for positive media coverage. The charges here, fraud, breach of trust and bribery. Netanyahu has called the charges a witch hunt against him and his family and has denied everything. His immunity as prime minister means he won't be legally forced to resign. But he is caught in a political and legal limbo. After failing to put together a government after two elections, he now faces a legal process that could drag on for years.
Let's pick up that point with Tanya Kremer there in Jerusalem. Tanya, as we heard there, the country's political scene is currently in turmoil. So what impact will these indictments have on that?
I think, first of all, you have to say this is really a huge moment here in Israeli politics, but also for many Israelis that have been waiting for this, to know what is happening to these investigations that have been ongoing, started actually in 2016. So all this time, there has always been this talk about a possible indictment, what will happen to Prime Minister Netanyahu. And this, as you say, comes after almost a year of political stalemate, two elections, and now the second elections as well. Inconclusive, the two candidates, the main candidates, first Prime Minister Netanyahu, still the acting Prime Minister, failed to put a coalition together. Now also his main opponent, Benny Gantz, he just gave back the mandate Wednesday night. And there's the possibility now, which is highly likely now, of a third election. And of course, this will have an impact, although people have known about this also during the other two elections, but this would have more of an impact, because now it also comes down to what his political allies will do.
And so will this finish Mr. Netanyahu politically?
Well, I think it's still a bit too early to say, but his prospects are not very good. Mr. Netanyahu denies all the charges. He said, as we heard in the report, that this is a witch hunt against him and his family. It's politically motivated. He actually started to attack not only the left wing, as he put, and the media, but also the police, even the Attorney General's office. And we heard the Attorney General tonight also talking about that, that it's so important to show that no one is above the law, and that is strictly not politically motivated what you've done. But of course, this will be a lengthy legal process. It is the first time that a sitting prime minister will be indicted, and this could have, you know, huge impact on political life here.
Tanya Kremer in Jerusalem, thank you. Now let's turn to some of the other stories making news around the world. Lawmakers in the United States are hearing more testimony on the final day of public impeachment hearings against President Trump. Political counselor David Holmes says he overheard disputed telephone calls. Fiona Hill, a national security official, has warned lawmakers not to be taken in by claims that Ukraine, rather than Russia, had meddled in the 2016 U.S. election.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman.
Hong Kong's campus siege appears to be nearing an end. 20 more pro-democracy protesters surrendered to police today and were escorted from the Polytechnic University. The campus has been the scene of one of the most violent confrontations between police and demonstrators since protests began almost 6 months ago. Tens of thousands of worshippers have filled Bangkok's National Stadium to see Pope Francis lead a mass. The pontiff is the first to visit Thailand in nearly 40 years and used the service to urge cooperation between the Buddhist majority and the Catholic Church. Ukraine says three naval ships returned by Russia this week are in bad condition. President Volodymyr Zelensky inspected the vessels when they arrived at a Ukrainian port. Their release is part of efforts to ease tensions ahead of a peace summit between Russia and Ukraine. Thousands of people have returned to the streets of Georgia's capital, Tbilisi, after parliament failed to introduce proportional representation. Earlier this week, police cleared protesters using water cannon and tear gas. Opponents say the current electoral system is unfair and gives the ruling party too much power. DW's Emily Sherwin reports from the city.
A rally for democracy and against the ruling party. Protesters outside the Georgian parliament want snap elections and constitutional reform. The protest has united around 20 opposition movements. They say the current electoral system favors the ruling Georgian Dream Party, which critics argue has too much power. For people here, electoral reform is much more than a formality.
This is very, very important change for this society, because everybody understands that with the current system, there may be no free and fair elections. People want something very basic. They want this country to be peaceful, to be democratic. They want their will to be respected. They want free and fair elections. And these are basic constitutional rights of Georgian people.
Some protesters are even camping out here to keep up the pressure on the government. The ruling Georgian Dream Party had promised a change in the electoral system after protests in June. But last week it didn't pass in parliament, where the party has a majority.
We are here protesting because they lied to us and they made a false promise.
We're coming from Soviet past. We don't have proper courts. We don't have like proper checks and balances. So to have a parliament where the forces are represented proportionally is vital for our democracy. And people realize that.
Recent surveys show Georgian Dream is still the most popular party, even if their poll numbers have dropped to just 23%. But the leader of the parliamentary majority insists that most people here appreciate the stability his party has brought to the country and says the protests aren't representative.
For me, all of them are citizens of Georgia. But when we are talking about 5,000, 6,000 people who are, half of them are just activists of the certain political parties, we can't talk about political crisis.
Meanwhile, outside parliament, demonstrators are keeping watch for another day.
These tents show that the protesters are here to stay. But for now, both the opposition and the government are standing their ground, and the political deadlock here in Georgia looks set to continue.
Parliamentary elections are scheduled for autumn next year, but protesters don't want to wait, and they're planning another large rally on Monday.
Emily Sherwin reporting. Now, the leader of Britain's opposition Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, has unveiled a detailed manifesto for next month's election as he tries to close an opinion poll gap with the governing Conservatives. Labour's plan for government includes a 5% increase in public sector pay, higher taxes on companies and the nationalisation of some infrastructure. It's being billed as the most radical plan for decades.
This party, this movement, this manifesto is different. Labour is on your side. And there could be scarcely a clearer demonstration of that than the furious reaction of the richest and most powerful.
Well, even as the Labour Party pushes its economic agenda, the biggest issue in Britain's forthcoming elections remains Brexit. 3.5 years after the country voted to leave the EU, and the UK still hasn't gone. And Brexit is more divisive than ever. DW's Birgit Mash reports.
Fine, OK, so let me give you one of those.
Thank you so much.
Alice Grant is going canvassing for the first time in her life for the Brexit Party. She doesn't think Britain needs a divorce deal with the European Union. Her main priority is to get out of the EU as quickly as possible, just as the Brexit Party has promised.
I really believe that the Brexit Party right now is the only party that's offering a clean break Brexit. You know, we've had the Tories for 3 years who failed to take us out. And I think now, yeah, the Brexit Party is the only party.
But in the affluent part of central London where Alice lives, most people are pro-EU.
Hello, we're canvassing for the Brexit Party. Do you know who you'll be voting for this general election?
Who are you canvassing for?
The Brexit Party.
Oh, never.
OK, have a good day.
For 18-year-old Alice and her younger sister, democracy is at stake. They say the UK needs its freedom, and to them, the EU is undemocratic. Even though most of their friends think differently, they aren't discouraged.
My old school was in a very Remain area and it was very politicised. Our lessons were all, you know, basically all about shaming people who supported Brexit. And as a Brexiteer, that was really hard for me.
The majority of young people in the UK see the EU as something positive, opening up opportunities to work and study abroad. So those campaigners who want to reverse Brexit are trying to get as many young people to vote as possible.
So, I'm bored of Brexit, you're bored of Brexit. We've been talking about this for 3 years now and we're all desperate.
Femi Oluwole has more than 200,000 followers on Twitter and Instagram. He tells them that a second referendum can put a stop to Brexit. The 26-year-old law school graduate has put his career on hold to become a full-time activist.
The things that people voted for in 2016 are clearly not going to happen. They expected more control over their country. They're getting less. They expected to be richer. They're being made poorer. They expected us to move on quickly. This is dragging on for 3 years and likely to drag on for a decade. Nobody wants any of these things. Give us a choice.
Femi has been verbally abused and has received racist comments and threats on social media because of his views on Brexit. For him, the general election is key. Only if enough pro-EU politicians make it into Parliament will there be a chance of a second referendum.
If we show up to vote in massive numbers, we've got this in the bag, but we need to.
And you fear that might not happen?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm hoping that young people, enough young people have woken up, but I can't guarantee until I see the results on polling day.
Would you like a leaflet?
The two activists have one thing
in
common. For them, Brexit is the most important election issue, but their views couldn't be more different.
Now, plastic waste turned into a floating paradise. An entrepreneur on the Ivory Coast has turned a pressing ecological problem into a business opportunity. He's built a floating resort in the middle of Abidjan's lagoon on top of 700,000 recycled plastic bottles. Facilities on the island include a hotel, two swimming pools and a karaoke bar, proving the phrase that one man's trash is another man's treasure. Up next here on DW, Gerhard Elfers with Business Africa. We'll have more on world news at the top of the hour. Have a good day.